Come on, clap your hands and give God praise if he's your everything. I said, can I get at least 10 people to stand on your feet and give God praise if he's your everything? All right, I need about 5 more people up in the balcony to stand on your feet and give God praise if you know God is your everything. Somebody said he's a way maker. He's a miracle worker. He's a promise keeper. A light in the darkness. Come on, let's fill the room with praise if you know he's been good to you. Take a moment and look at somebody and say, God has been good to me. Come on, that neighbor's still waking up. Find somebody else and say, oh neighbor, God has been good to me. If you knew all that I've been through, you'd understand why I praise like I do, why I shout like I do, why I worship like I do. Come on, let's fill this room with praise. I'm trying to see where the praise is at, because the people say when praises go up, blessings come down, but the Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. Are there any praises in the house? Open up your mouth, lift up your hands, and tell God thank you. Come on, is there a thank you in the house? For every mountain he brought you over, for every trial he's seen you through. Come on, there ought to be a praise in this house. If God's really been a healer, if he's been a doctor in the sick room, a lawyer in the courtroom, come on, you ought to not worry about your neighbor. You ought to let a praise go in here, because God's been better to you than that. He didn't let your enemies triumph over you. And you've got a reason to give God praise. Hallelujah. 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 While we're standing all over this room, I just feel led to go ahead and pray. Can we just tell God thank you? Can you fill the room with thanksgiving? God, we thank you. God, we honor you. We praise you for the gift of life. We thank you that you look beyond our faults and you see our very need. Thank you, God, that while we weren't worried about you, you were still concerned about us. You woke us up this morning and started us on our way. For that we say thank you, God. We thank you for our neighbor. We don't know all that they've gone through, but the truth of the matter is we're standing next to a miracle. We're sitting next to a miracle. Somebody that the devil tried to take out. Somebody that the enemy tried to kill. But the fact that they are still here is a reminder to us that God could do anything but fail. So God, as we are gathered in this place, we need to hear a word from you. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Give us a word that will bring new life. Let the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, you are my strength and my redeemer. And all that know and love him shouted amen. And praise God. Come on, can you clap your hands one more time on the way to your seat? Hallelujah. Can y'all help me get my nerves under control? There's a song that says, I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. Is that anybody's testimony this morning? Well, why don't you help me sing it? I love you, Jesus. Come on, sing it all over the house. I worship him. I just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more, Come on, can we sing that one more time like you really mean it, like you woke up this morning because you love him? I love you, Jesus. I'm worshiping the door. Oh, just wanna tell you, yeah, Lord, I love you more than anything. If you mean that, come on, let's give God praise one more time. As you take your outlines, if you have them in your hand, I just want to lift one verse for your hearing and place sermonic emphasis on verse number 4, Mark chapter 2, verse 4. Says, since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made a hole in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat that the man was lying on. I don't know if many of you will remember, but there was an activity or an exercise, if you will, called the trust fall. And I can remember being back at elementary school, and we would gather around and we would participate in this activity called the trust fall. And the objective of the activity was for you to trust that the people around or behind you will spot you and commit to catching you before you fall. Now, I'll be honest in telling you that if I were in the position to having to be catched or caught, I was oftentimes uneasy or concerned if they were able to catch me, because you understand I was kind of a hefty child, if I could say that. I was stocky. And so I was wondering if they were able to bear the weight, if they had the capacity to bear the weight of catching me. And there's some of us in the room who have that very same concern in our very life, not so much about the weight that's on our bodies, but the weight that comes with being who you are. You're concerned about the people around you, if they have the capacity, the strength, the ability to be able to support all that comes with you. And I wonder if there's anybody in the room today that could say, I don't want anyone around me who does not have capacity to be in my life. There's a lot that comes with me. There's a lot of anointing that comes with me being who I am. There's a lot of gifting and complexities that come with being who I am. And if you don't have the capacity to be in my life, I don't need you in my space. But I need people in my life and in my space that have capacity. Let the church shout capacity. Now, there's in this activity not just the responsibility of trusting those who catch you, but the responsibility is on those who are the assigned assistants, the ones who have the responsibility of being the catcher, or the one that's responsible for ensuring that the one who's in position does not get dropped. And so that's who I want to talk to this morning. Those of us who have capacity, who have strength to bear the burdens of other people. For that's what the Bible commissions us to do, because many of us can testify that in some area of our life and at some point in our life, we have fallen and have experienced failure. I know we're dressed up this morning. I know you look good. But there are some of us who could testify that I know what it feels like to fall in life, to fall for the okey-doke, to fall for lies, to fall for deceit and for failure. But you have to understand that it's not the point that you fail, but it's the fact that you got back up again. And I wonder, is there anybody that could testify and clap your hands and say, I thank God that I got back up again? Yeah, I know it was difficult. I know you had challenges, but you were able to get back on your feet again. And so because you were able to get on your feet again, we have the responsibility to help others to know that they can get back up again too. And I wonder, is there anybody here that says, I'll be the one. I'm committed to being the one to help somebody else know that if he did it for me, he can do it for you. That if Jesus helped me get back on my feet again, Jesus will help you get back on your feet again. If Jesus dried my tears, then Jesus will dry your tears. If Jesus healed my body, I know that he can heal your body. Now, there are some of us, and I know some of us in the room have not only the testimony that we fail, but we have some of us that have the testimony that life knocked you off your feet, that it wasn't decisions that you made, but it was a situation or a circumstance that came and knocked you off of your feet. Death came unexpectedly and knocked you off your feet. Divorce came at the wrong time and knocked you off of your feet. Sickness struck your body and knocked you off of your feet. And can I tell you that in common terminology, life does life, and life will happen, and life will sometimes knock you off of your feet. But the good news from glory today is that even if you have fallen, and even after you have gotten up again, you have the power to encourage somebody else and bring them closer to Jesus. I know you're wondering, well, how am I able to bring others closer to Jesus? Let me help you by understanding that there are two people in this world, those of us who know Jesus, and then there are those who need to know Jesus. And we see both people and both scenarios in this text, but I want to talk to the people who know Jesus. I want to talk to the people who have the testimony of getting back up again. I want to talk to the people who don't mind doing the work of discipleship and helping bringing others closer to Jesus. And the way that we are able to do that is found in our sermonic thought. You must answer the call to relational discipleship. Let the church say relational discipleship. Relational discipleship, which is the process of being connected in relationships that equip you and encourage others to be more like Jesus in order to bring others to Jesus. After all, that's what we all have been called and commissioned to do. But you don't have to take my word for it. It's found right in the Bible in our text. It says, some men came bringing to Jesus a paralyzed man carried by four of them. And since they could not get him to Jesus through the main entrance because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat that the man was lying on. And can I tell you that in just these few verses, we get a close-up view of what it means for us to participate in relational discipleship? Because you do know that God has a calling for each and every one of us. It's not just those who are in the pulpit or in the choir or serving as ushers, but all of us have been called to a work. All of us have been called to be disciple makers and invest in the lives of other people, because our salvation is not just for us. I said our salvation is not just for us, but it's for us to share with somebody else. And so I just want to give a sub thought or a subtopic of I can handle it. I can handle it, which is in support of the weight that comes with the people that God brings into our life. This is what we see with the four friends are coming onto the scene, and they find this man paralyzed and in need of help. And so in order for us to bring others closer to Jesus, we cannot remain silent when we see people in a struggle. We cannot stand on the sidelines and hope that somebody else comes and does the work. But each of us have a responsibility to be disciples and have relational discipleship that causes us to be a helper of those who are in need. And so the text tells us that this man was carried by four men. It does not tell us how long they knew each other, does not give us a background on their relationship, but it does let us know that because of God's sovereign power, that they were in the right place at the right time. And I wonder if I have at least 10 people that could testify that you were in a situation in your life where God placed the right people in your life at the right time. Come on, you could talk back to me. There were times in your life when you prayed and you didn't know how things were going to work out, but God put the right person in your path at the right time. And so God ensured by orchestrating this scene and this text that these four men came in contact with a man who needed help. And so they not only just help him, but they carry his load. They help him to carry his weight. In other words, they cared enough, our first point, they cared enough to carry his weight. And if we are going to help others get closer to Jesus, we have to care enough to help carry their weight. And that's what relational discipleship 101 is all about. It's about connecting with a sister or a brother and walking with them through their dilemma, through their crisis, through their condition, and ensuring that whatever it is that they are dealing with, that we don't leave them by themselves. And we know that in order to be a blessing to somebody else and help them in their time of need, we have to be willing to care. Somebody say care. And in order for us to care, which means there is conviction, there means that we have to also have capacity. And the trouble that we often face is that there are too many people who care, but they don't have capacity to do anything about what needs to be done. But the good news is that God brings into this brother's life, into our lives, people who are able to help us and helps us to be the ones to help carry the load for somebody else. And so not only did they care enough to carry his burdens, the Bible tells us in Romans 15:1 that we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not please ourselves. The Bible also says in Galatians 6:2, to carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. And can I tell you, my beloved brother and sister, all of you, all of us have been licensed to carry. Yeah, you heard me correctly. All of you, all of us have been licensed to carry. And I'm not talking about bearing arms, but I'm talking about bearing the burdens of our brothers and sisters. Because if we call ourselves a Christian, if we say that we have been called of God, the Bible tells us that we have a responsibility to care and to carry the load of others around us. That's by feeding the sick, by praying for those who are in need, by being a strong force of support in the lives of other people. And so in order for us to care and to carry, there must be conviction. And not only must there be conviction, but we must also, second point, collaborate within the community of faith. And so when we collaborate in the community of faith, our conviction to do something about what we see causes us to be an active participant in God's plan for the life of others. And so The introductory statement of this chapter tells us that Jesus had been on tour, not like the tour Beyonce is on, but Jesus is on tour healing the sick and preaching the gospel and casting out demons. And word gets around that Jesus has come back home. And not only has he come back home, but he's home and he's helping those who are in need. And so these men, it doesn't tell us how much they heard. It doesn't tell us what they heard, but they heard enough to know that when they met this man, that they knew someone who was able to help them about their situation. And so the man not only trusts what they heard, but he trusts that they know who can help. And so if we are going to help others get closer to Jesus, we have to have conviction about knowing the power of Jesus. We could have the conviction of knowing the healing touch of Jesus. And so there are those of us in the house that don't have to look at anyone else's story or anyone else's testimony, but we have the testimony of what Jesus has done in our life. And there are others who need to know what God can do and what Jesus has done in your life. Is there anybody that could testify that I know what he's done in my life? I know how he lifted me when I was down. I know how he made a way when there was no way. I know his healing touch. I know the power that Jesus has. And so when you know that you know that you know, you are able to collaborate with others who know. I don't understand why people like to be around others who don't believe like they believe. But these brothers understood that it's important for you to connect with people who have the same faith level as you, who believe God like you do, who trust God like you do. And so they were able to collaborate within community of faith because their faith is what drew them together. Because I did say they heard about Jesus. And you know the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so they brought this man to Jesus. And the text says that they not only bring him to Jesus, but it says that since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they went a step further and they opened up the roof. They made a hole in the roof. They start digging and pulling back the layers of the roof because they understood that collaboration takes hard work. That in order for the hard work to be done, we have to work together. Somebody say, we have to work together. And so they understood that they had to work together. They had to collaborate within the community of faith. And so not only did they collaborate to pull the roof off, but the text says that they had to work together to lower the man down at the feet of Jesus. And so can I tell you, my brother and sister, that when we collaborate in the community of faith and when we are compelled to carry the weight of others, then we are able to see God's power in our life. But not only are we able to see God's power in our life, it encourages us to be committed to the call despite complications. Our next point, committed. We have to be committed to the call despite complications. This call, this conviction, this assignment that the four friends were committed to was not a cakewalk, but it was a faith walk. This commitment was one that was met with obstacles and challenges, because you do see the text tells that not only did they have to go up on the roof, but the only reason they had to go on the roof is because they could not go through the main entrance. So that tells me that there was inconvenience. And can I tell you that sometimes when we are doing the work of relational discipleship, we are going to be met with inconveniences and challenges and obstacles. obstacles, but it's because of our commitment that people are still able to get to Jesus, because we don't stop because of obstacles and inconveniences. We see that there is an unconventional faith that these brothers had, because the average person would have said, this is too much, it don't take all of that, and I'm sorry, I can't help you get any further because it's inconvenient. But these brothers had the type of faith that saw the impossible, that believed the impossible, and they saw that there was still a way even though the obstacles were facing them. And so because they did not become overwhelmed by the obstacles and they remained committed to the call despite complications, we see in verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. And so when we are committed to the call despite complications, we are able to bring people closer to Jesus. They are able to get the help they need, but our faith is also renewed. And I wonder, is there anybody that can remember a time when you prayed for somebody and they came back with the testimony that because of your prayers, they were able to receive a positive response from the doctor? I wonder if there's anyone that could testify that you know that because of you standing in the gap for someone else, because that you were a disciple that walked with people on their journey, that they were able to believe in God again. And I wonder, is there anyone that can say that your faith has helped to renew the faith of others? Because anytime people come in contact with us, they ought to get a faith charge. They ought to believe God because of the faith that you have. The people on your job ought to get a faith charge because of your faith. The people even at the HEB ought to get a faith charge because of the faith that you have. And I wonder, is there anybody that can say, I've got enough faith for you and for me, because I've seen God move in my life. I've seen God perform miracles in my life. And so because these men were committed to the call despite complications, they were then able to celebrate Christ for the change. My last point, we are able and we must celebrate Christ for change, because when we bring others to Jesus, they cannot leave the same way they came. And somebody has the testimony that when I met Jesus, my whole life changed. Everything about me changed. My attitude changed. My conversations changed. Things I used to do, I don't do anymore. Places I used to go, I don't go anymore. Things I used to say, I don't say as much. Because when I came in contact with Jesus, my life changed. Come on, y'all can be real with me. Is there anybody here that knows that because of Jesus, your whole life has changed? And that's what these men understood, because they heard about how Jesus healed the sick, and they heard about how Jesus did all of these miracles, and they knew that if he could do it for other people, then surely he can do it for my friend. And so you ought to leave this house today with the type of faith that says, I believe God. I don't just believe God for me, but I believe God for my neighbor. I believe God for my family. I believe God for my children. I believe God for my spouse. And is there anybody that could testify that I've got the kind of faith that doesn't stop at the first obstacle? I've got the kind of faith that keeps going despite what comes my way. I wish y'all would have church with me and testify that I've got the kind of faith that doesn't take no as an answer. Because if God is in it, there's no way that I can be stopped. And so these brothers had unstoppable faith. They had unconquerable faith. They had faith that could move mountains. They had faith that can move past obstacles. And I wonder, is there anybody here that could testify that I've got that kind of faith? I've got the the kind of faith that could look at my bank account and say he is a provider of everything I need. I wonder, is there anybody here that says, I've got the kind of faith that could look the devil in the face and say, no weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper. I wonder, is there anybody here that says, I've got the kind of faith that can stand in the doctor's office and say, by his stripes, I'm already healed. I wish I had a witness here that could testify that I've got faith. Is there anybody here that could say, not only do I have faith, but I've got a reason to give God praise? And the reason why they were able to give God praise is because Mark 2 and 12 says that the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked through the people looking around. And it says they praised God, saying that we've never seen anything like this. And I tell you today, there's some people looking at you right now, saying they're wondering how you can make it, wondering how you overcame. They're saying to themselves, we've never seen anything like this before. But it's because of the power of God in your life, and you can testify that I know I've been changed, because the angels in heaven signed my name. Can I get at least 10 people to stand on your feet and begin to praise God for the change in your life? Come on, testify with your neighbor and say, he changed me. Come on, look at somebody else and say, he changed me. I don't walk like I used to walk. I don't talk like I used to talk. The hymn says, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my life. Come on and tell somebody, I know I've been changed because I can help my enemies. I know I've been changed because I can pray and not cuss. I know I've been changed because I can help and not throw hands. I know I've been changed because God has given me a new name, because the Bible says that the Jesus does not call him a paralytic, but he calls him son. And I can tell you today that because God has changed you, they might know your condition, but the conclusion of the matter is you've been changed. You're not what you used to be. You're not who you used to be, but you are a child of God because you've been changed. Come on and open up your mouth and give God praise because he changed you from the inside out. And I wonder, is there anybody here that can say, I came to church today because I've been changed? I came to worship today because I've been changed. And if he changed me, I know he could change you. Come on, let's practice evangelizing. Tell somebody he's able. Come on, tell somebody across the room, he's able. He's able to pick you up. He's able to turn you around. He's able to place your feet on a solid ground. How do you know? Because he did it for me. Have I got a witness here? He did it for me. Come on, you ought to raise your hand and say, Lord, thank you for doing it for me. You saved me. You healed me. You changed me. You delivered me. You lifted me up. You dried my tears. Come on, you ought to have a praise in this house for how the Lord works in your life. Because I know it was nobody but Jesus. Anybody know him? I say, anybody know him? Jesus, a rock in a weary land. Jesus, shelter in a time of storm. Jesus, way out of no way. Jesus, what's his name? What's his name? What's his name? Shout yes if you know he's got power. Shout yes if he changed you. Shout yes if you know God will bring you out for every mountain you brought me over, for every trial you see me through, for every blessing. Hallelujah. For this I will give him praise. Come on, let's praise him. Come on, let's lift him. Come on, let's glorify him. Come on, let's magnify him. Because he's worthy. So we are, if we are going to bring others to Jesus, everybody standing all over the house, if we are going to be used as assigned assistants, if we are truly going to be disciples that Jesus can use to bring others to Christ, first we have to care enough to carry. We live in a world where so many people are worried about me, but they're not worried about us. They're worried about individual needs and concerns. But God is looking for somebody who's committed, who says, I know what God has done in my life, and I'm committed to seeing you witness God work in your life. So there are some of us in this house who've been tasked with being the strong friend. People refer to you as the strong friend. You always know what to say. You always know what to do. You're dependable. But don't you know that God placed you in their life for a reason? Your family is blessed to have you because of the capacity you have to carry. There's somebody in the house under the sound of my voice. You're saying, I really want to be someone that God could use. I really want to be committed despite complications. I really want to be a part of a community of faith and collaborate within the community of faith. Can I tell you, Good Hope is a good place where we are part of a community of believers. And there's a call that you have to answer to relational discipleship. Oftentimes, when we think of the invitation to discipleship, we think about the individual work, but it's a really an invitation to relationship, which means that you don't have to do this by yourself. So the first invitation that we want to extend is to salvation. If you're saying today that I want to give my life to Christ, I'm in a space where the weight has become heavy. I try to carry it by myself. I try to manage the stress by myself. I try to manage the problems, the trials by myself. But I'm in a place in my life where it has really become heavy, too heavy for me to carry. Can I tell you that you can come and lay your burdens here at the feet of Jesus? Jesus is in the room today. You brought him with you when you drove to church. You brought him with you when you left home. Jesus is in the room today. And I would not leave here with the same burdens I came with. The good news is that at Good Hope, you have a lot of assigned assistants, people that God has placed to help you carry your burden. So the first call is for salvation. If you're saying, I want to give my life to Christ, I want to be a part of a family of believers that can help me work through my life journey, we want you to start making your way down front. We want you to start moving towards this way because we want to help you get closer to Jesus. That's the reason why we're here. That's the reason why we preach, why we sing, why we do what we do, because we want to see others get closer to Jesus. So you don't have to be afraid. You might be sitting next to someone and you can ask them to walk with you, to help you make your decision and come down front to give your life to Jesus. Come on, this could be your spiritual birthday. This could be a new beginning for you. You don't have to leave here with the same struggles you came with. You don't have to leave here with the same burdens you came with. Because the text says that not only was the man's sins forgiven, but it says that his life was restored. And can I tell you, there's restoration power in the house today? Come on, let's praise God as others are coming. There's restoration power in the house today. And you don't have to go back home bound. You don't have to go back home with those same burdens. But God has sent help for you today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know some of you are saying, I don't know if I'm ready. I don't know if I'm ready to be vulnerable again. I've had to struggle with trusting people again. But God says, I've placed you here on purpose. I brought you here on purpose because there are people within this family who are committed to seeing you grow closer to Jesus. Come on. We offer Christ to you. Oh, my brother. Come on, you're contemplating it in your mind. You're thinking about it. It's almost like there's a spirit of anxiety that's holding you captive. But I came to tell you that you don't have to be bound, that there's freedom in the house today. There's restoration in the house today. There's a new beginning for you today. Even up in the balcony, there's someone that may be contemplating growing closer and being a burden bearer. And you want to help someone else grow closer to Jesus, but you want to make sure you're in right relationship. You can make your way down this way too. Come on, let's lift that one more time. We offer Christ to you. We all. Oh, my brother. We offer. Oh, my sister. He will give you brand new life. Hallelujah. Life abundantly. Oh, come. We want to appeal one more time. There may be somebody who's really thinking about making that next step. Can I tell you, there's no better day than today to bring whatever has had you burdened to Jesus. Because the good news is this: when we lay it at His feet, He will help us get back on our feet. And today's a good day for you to get back on your feet again. Hallelujah. Let's praise God for those who have come down. Hallelujah. 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 We have more coming. Come on, let's praise God for. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heaven is rejoicing. I said heaven is rejoicing. Come on, it's not too late. We're still waiting on you. You're not holding up the product, but you are a part to the process. So we want to make one more appeal. There may be someone that's kind of toiling in their spirit. We don't want you to leave here with the same burdens that you came with. Hallelujah. 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 There's more coming. Somebody over here, you thinking about it and you're praying about it and you say maybe next Sunday, but today's a good day. Come on, make a decision for Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Do you mind? Can we lift that up one more time? Somebody may be making up their mind. Can we lift that up one more time? Oh, come on. Come on. To Christ. Just in case there's somebody else thinking about it, we just want to make one more appeal. We don't want to leave anybody out. Because just like the man was important enough for Jesus to stop preaching, you are important for us to stop and take this moment in worship to ensure that you know Jesus like we know Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's pray with these that have come. God, we thank you that your word does not return void, but it accomplishes everything that is set out to do. Thank you, God, that you have already forgiven us of the sins that we've committed, and you freed us from the past that has had us bound. But not only have you freed us, not only have you forgiven us, but you have called us to help bring others closer to you. Help us to use our testimony to witness of your power. We pray for these souls that have come to give their lives to you. We pray, oh God, that you would cover them and keep them, undergird them, give them strength on their journey, and help us to be support to them as we bring others closer to Jesus. God, we thank you for the spirit of freedom that's in this house. We thank you for the spirit of deliverance that's in this house. We thank you for your yoke-destroying power, that we don't have to leave bound, but because of your power, we can be changed forever. It's in Jesus' name that we pray, and we give you praise. Amen. Come on, can we praise God for change? I said, can we praise God for change? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.